Welcome to Christ Today. There is so much joy when we have Jesus in our life. It is wonderful to feel His love and also to know that we have an eternal heavenly destiny after we pass into the next life. And we do want heaven and not hell, so we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. I am so very thankful for God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And yes, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then live your life like you mean it. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Meanwhile, we live on this earth, and we deal with everything. We all know about the little aggravations that happen every day, but we are also aware of things that are going on in the world, and for everything that is going on around us right in front of our eyes. I think about the biblical warnings to be not deceived, and we also know about the phrase, beware of the wolf in sheep's clothing. And we can use caution for all the things around us, the events and the going-ons around us. We just want our focus to remain on Jesus in every way that we know how. These days, there are pastors who remind us what Luke 21:28 says, when we see these things happen, look up, for your redemption draweth near. And so we could ask, what things? Well, it says right there that the sun and the moon and the stars, and there will be distress of the nations and roaring waves and men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of what is to come. So what's going on nowadays? We think about all sorts of things like this, and we can wonder if we are at the beginning of the time when we are to look up, for our redemption draweth near. And it seems that we are to, well, let me look ahead a couple of verses beyond that. It says, don't drink or carouse, for the day and the time will come unexpectedly. So we want to pray that we will be counted worthy to escape the trouble and to stand before the Son of Man, who is Jesus. See, there are questions. There's plenty of questions about what the Bible says and what pastors say. I know one pastor who is very fond of saying, believe only and we shall be saved. But there in that Luke 21:36, it says, may we be counted worthy. So what does that mean? I do know pastors who will tell you just about everything in the Bible and what it means, but that's not me. I search for meanings, and I have to pray to understand. There's a lot of things that I don't know. I think my understanding is not perfect. And I urge everyone to look to seek and pray when they read the Bible to get their understanding? Well, it's just that things are going on in the world, and we get to listen to lots of Christian people and pastors and try to understand everything that we can. We want a good understanding, and we are in this time at near the end of the age, and there are events that are going on. I think of that Dana Coverstone. I've talked with him about him before, and he's a Kentucky pastor who last year had some dreams and visions, and well, about a week ago he had another one, and he speaks about all those things. He has a lot of similar things in his dreams and visions, but it doesn't mean that I say, hey, look, guy to follow. Nope, I just mean there's an indicator. He is an indicator of what we can look at and seek to understand. Just like we look at the conditions around us, we look at the conditions of the world, and we look at what the world leaders say. And through all this, we are to stay strong in the faith of Jesus Christ. Because there will be a lot of stress. There will be a lot of frustration everywhere all around us, a lot of upheaval. And we are to stay strong in our love of Jesus and our faith in Jesus Christ. Expectations are, they can draw us either to or away, and we just have to be careful to be not deceived, just like the Bible says. We want to know Jesus and develop that close relation with him so that we can hear him speak to us. And I think a part of the things we do are to listen to the pastors, both our own pastor and other Christian voices, and try to figure out what these things are telling us. And that Pastor Dana Coverstone, he has had those words, brace yourself, recur in his dreams and visions. And I think that might be just a very reasonable thing to do, to look at, brace yourself for what is coming. And I know that there's people who have such a strong expectation that we Christians are going to be taken out of the world so that we do not experience the wrath of God. Well, that's biblical completely. It's just the timing that we have to figure out, and the wrath of God is different from the hard times that are coming. And this is something which we really do need to look at and seek to understand. See, in history, there has been lots of persecution of people, both Christians and Jews, and other people too. Lots of persecution in history. And we have to try to figure out the timing to know what we are to do and when we are to do it. Prayer helps a lot with that. Definitely to pray and develop that ear to hear the spiritual matters. Again, there's lots of people who will describe what is coming, and of course the Bible tells about that too, but the timing is something which we have a lot of questions about. But we can seek and we can have understanding too. That's just the way of life. Look around and try to understand. See what's going on. Our understanding is far from perfect. We don't really know what's coming. If you look at the events in the last 20 years, remember there was 9/11, and remember there was the financial crash of 2008. I don't think that there was any people, there was none that I know of, and no spiritually minded people either, who predicted any of those things. So that's a part of what we think we can expect to come in the future. We just really don't know. And that is a part of our preparedness. We don't know what's coming, but we still seek to be, in general, prepared for what, and therefore we get prepared for lots of different things. I think in terms of a natural disaster, I think that's the most useful preparation we can do. And we have had a few natural disasters that have affected lots of people, and there could be plenty more. I think the biggest one I think of as affecting us is a great big earthquake. I think most likely that would be right along the coast of California, Oregon, Washington. That is the Cascadia subduction zone. And when that goes off, it's going to be big. The last time it happened was in 1700. And they say that it happens on average every 300 years. And now it's about 320 years. So does that mean we're overdue? Or does that mean the average is still within norm? It is within norm, but it's still something that we can be aware of could happen. And there is another great big earthquake fault in the United States. It's called the New Madrid fault, and that is more or less on the east coast of the United States. That one is also overdue by about 20 years. So we're dealing with what is, or what we understand the averages to be, and then we try to seek out what is likely to happen. Well, in life we are confronted with all sorts of situations. Many of them are big. These earthquakes would be big, and I think it's just fine for us to look at that kind of preparation for an earthquake, for a related event. One of the things that happens when we get traumatic events in our life is it disorients people. It really causes their understanding and thinking to change. That's what trauma does. It happens when a person suddenly recognizes the loss that has gone on in their life. That causes trauma. When you realize, oh, your house just collapsed or burned up or whatever it was, a relationship was lost. All these dramatic events will affect us sometimes very, very much. And it makes us practically incapable of doing anything, including having good, reasonable thinking, or having thoughts or critical thinking thoughts. That's just the nature of what happens when we have that trauma in our life. And that's something we have to be aware of, both for ourselves and other people. Trauma can disorient us, and it can disorient the people around you. We have to remember that when there is a big event, that people are going to be disoriented, and probably so are we. Now, maybe we're not as disoriented as they are, because we know what's going on. But this is a real common thing to have happen. All the emergency people know about the disorientation that happens. And they're aware of it, and they deal with it. And that's something that we may very well have to deal with one day also, if there is that great big natural disaster. People would be displaced. Things would not be normal, and people would have troubles. So it's something that if we take a few steps towards understanding, we will be able to handle it better if and when it comes along. And I know about 10 minutes ago I talked about what happens in the world, and there is the spirit of Antichrist that is causing a lot of events in the world. And we have to realize that this is another thing that we have to deal with. The spirit of Antichrist or of evil, those things are going on too. And they can cause disruptions in our life. And that can be traumatic just as much as a physical disaster. And I see that things are going that way towards disorientation, and because when there is disorder, it gives other people a chance to restructure society in a way that benefits them. That's been tried and true over the centuries, over the thousands of years. And people know that. People in authority know that. And there are various organizations that have that thinking as well. They promote each other, the people within the organization and people across those secret organizations. A secret. Well, yeah, they can be secret. Or they can just be a social group or a economic group. But they are groups of people who have a goal in mind, and that can often be redirected towards a spiritual or a nefarious goal. That's what happens with a lot of the groups that are going on. And we think of, if we're thinking that kind of a thought, we might think of the Illuminati, or the Rothschilds, or the Bilderbergers, the Club of Rome, the Trilateral Commission, what else? Council on Foreign Relations. See, there's lots of groups that have an element of manipulation, and they want to control things. They want to use every means possible so that they get a benefit and take what they want. There are even nations that have their security agencies that go along with this goal and this interest. And there's plenty of people who expect or believe that the international central bankers also are a part of these groups, and they have goals to take whatever they want. Some people would include the not just the international bankers, but the churches, or, for instance, the Vatican. It's just that people see different things. Doesn't mean they're right or wrong. There can be elements of both involved in the different groups. But it's something for us to be aware of so that we can see where things are moving towards. There's another group today called the World Economic Forum, and they have an executive director named Klaus Schwab. And in 2006, he wrote a book called The Great Reset, which is about restructuring wealth and restructuring the entire world, and financially and socially and in every way. So there are forces going on in the world that we might not recognize, but they're still there. And we know that they try to work with the people who would be called the big movers and shakers to get their plans and get their control over the whole world. That's what their goal is. And the World Economic Forum is a part of doing that. They are a private group that meets in Davos, Switzerland, and at their annual meeting. It's pretty normal for them to have 1,000 private luxurious jet planes belonging to the people that attend. That's just the way it is. So we have to understand that there are people who have goals, and they're moving to get those goals met, which pretty much is to get the things that you and I have: riches, control over resources. And often that means energy and electricity and gasoline, and also food and water. And they are making steps to do that. You can look up those groups if that's of interest to you, but it doesn't really matter what group you're looking into. Groups often have a desire that is not in your best interest. And these either secret or semi-secret groups, they do have plans. They do have things they want. And we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware of deception and why things happen. It's not for the reasons that we usually see. There are other reasons to see it. And you might wonder, why is the world promoting lockdowns and shutdowns and masks and vaccinations with an experimental vaccine? See, and by the way, this is an experimental vaccine. There has never been a vaccine like it. It's not in the sense, the true sense of the word, it's not a vaccine where they have a weakened virus and they inject that into your body. No, this is an mRNA vaccine which works completely differently. And there's so many people who are saying, don't take the vaccine. But whether you have taken it or not, I hope you do stay as healthy as you can, get good rest, and have healthy food. That's the best we can do. Then seek the God of the Bible and understand how we can belong to Him, how we can serve Him. And along the way, we will try to be healthy and do the will of our Father who is in heaven. So you might think of vitamins and supplements or just plain eating good, healthy foods. I mean, that's what we do to stay healthy. There are people who, well, this has been going on for 20 years through the United Nations, that there has been a plan to regulate vitamins and supplements, not just drugs, but vitamins and supplements. And they would still be available, but you would need a prescription to buy them. And that movement is starting to come around again. There are people who want every one of those things to be only by prescription. I guess they have a different interest than we're thinking of. Their interest would not be to promote health. It would be to control the people. That's the way I see it. So we have to be careful when we listen to the experts and try to understand what their interests are and what they are trying to do. See, there's authorities of every kind. Some seek only their own best interests. Some seek the best interest of the group. And it seems like there are fewer and fewer authorities who are concerned about the best interest of the people of that country. And what do? We become aware of it, and we just try to, well, follow God's will and go through life. Well, different opinions. Everybody has different opinions, and I just came across one that was on August 9th, 2021. Here's my notes. Marine Corps General David Berger responded to Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's edict, which was to require all armed force personnel to submit to COVID-19 vaccinations under threat of court-martial or discharge. Well, Marine Corps General David Berger said, under no circumstances will Marines be compelled to take a potentially hazardous vaccine. He further said, neither you nor your puppet president have authority to enforce such a policy. And Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin responded, we are their leaders and we make the big decisions that they are incapable of making. What a thing to say, huh? Well, he continued, if conservatives and evangelicals see our fighting forces getting vaccinated, they will be more likely to get vaccinated themselves. And then Marine General Burgers said, it was unfair to compare established vaccinations with a product that was rushed to market with little concern for side effects. And then he cited a NIH, National Institute of Health, report linking the vaccination to thousands of fatalities. Well, then Secretary of Defense Austin responded, he was just following orders. To which the Marine General Berger said, you sold your soul. I hope you can live with yourself. Well, that was an article dated August 10th, 2021 by Michael Baxter of Real News. So, I think this little back and forth demonstrated that there really is some big differences of opinion. And if you look, you can certainly see the science is far from being settled. Science is not settled on any of this. That little discussion or back and forth between those two gentlemen shows that there is a strong sentiment in the two different areas, either to take the so-called vaccine and otherwise you would be expected to lose your job or be fired. So there's two different ideas, two different people who have two different ideas. That's just going on these days. And we have to try to find a way through all of this. What medical professions are we going to listen to? Because there's plenty of doctors and researchers who say, don't take the vaccine. Yeah, just like Secretary of Defense Austin said, he was just following orders. Well, I think we have to be real careful with the orders that we follow, because first, our commander is Jesus Christ, and we have to understand that we do not become compromised. Well, that little thing reminded me of the Nuremberg trials of 1945. Where the Nazis were persecuted and they were hung for following orders. And because of those Nuremberg trials in 1945, the words that I was just following orders can no longer be considered a valid defense. There was the expectation and writing, they expressed it so well, that people were required to follow their own moral compass, which knew the difference between right and wrong, and recognized the values of Western civilization, which were determined by the Christian biblical ethics. See, the Bible is a stable and lasting point of reference for all morality. Anyway, all morality in the Western civilization. So when we talk about following orders or what about the vaccines, we have to try to understand the overall picture, which is our place in the kingdom of God in obedience to Jesus Christ. And yes, there are plenty of people who say one thing or another. I'm sorry, but every one of us has to develop our thoughts in that direction and see where we stand on the matter. It is not a settled matter. All over the world, there are protests taking place. Some of them are about the having to wear the mask, and some of them are about having to have a vaccine or health passport. There are thousands of people marching. Oh, like this was just days ago in Germany. There were mass protests where 10 to 20,000 people were protesting that the government was forcing them to wear a mask. And in France, Paris, there were many, many thousands of people who were protesting the health passport, which was to be required in order to eat at a cafe in Paris. So protests are going on all over. In Italy, there are mass protests. And, oh, Britain, Austria, Spain, U.S. and Canada also. Oh, but also some other countries like Turkey and Algeria. There are just a battle between the different forces and the different ideas. In Argentina, there are squads of police kind of people and medical kind of people that are going around forcing people to be vaccinated. And they are loudly objecting, screaming, no, no, it's not right, don't do it. But they are getting vaccinated forcefully. So we have to see what's going on here. What are we going to tolerate? Are we going to allow our neighborhoods to be canvassed and encouraged, I guess, or forced, I don't know, to take the vaccine? I don't know, but if it's sure that if we continue to comply, well, what will happen with the next thing that we are told to comply with? I don't know. But I know there are people who are issuing those orders to say everybody has to get the vaccination. California Governor Newsom is saying that, requiring that all teachers and school personnel get the jab. And there's just so many people who are being effectively forced, because if they don't get it, they're going to lose their job. And now there are plenty of people who are saying they are willing to lose their job instead of taking an experimental so-called vaccine. So, yeah, we are at a point in our society where things could change. Why? Because people are not always correct and true, and we have evidence that in the past, people have lied and misrepresented the truth so many times. Yes, in corporations. Yes, in political region, political speaking. It's just all over. The lies and the misstatements, they're happening all over. And we are... that is, there are people who are trying to convince us of something that is not true. We find little pieces out, and we realize that it's not true, but we still have a position of if we agree with it or not. A lot of people are having trouble with this, and maybe you're one of them. I think the best thing we can do is try to stay healthy, whether we take the jab or not. And health comes with proper diet and proper rest. I know there's also a lot of people who are noticing that this jab is coming from governmental directives, but maybe more it is coming from corporate directives. Of people in those private little clubs and private corporations that say, you take this jab or you're fired or you're not coming into my business. And that's very active. I remember in the days long ago when I was observing that there would be groups that would be having people who would force a consensus among smaller tables, and then there would be a group consensus that would come out of the group. It was a process. It was a manipulation. And this really did happen. I think it happens among the corporate people too, in their little private or their big private groups and societies, whatever they are. I named a few of them a few minutes ago. I think that this is going on, and we have to be concerned that the mandates for the health requirements are going to come out of private industry, private corporations, and not government. And of course, we have to wonder, well, if they're trying so hard to force us to take the jab, what is it going to be like when we have to resist, the mark? When that becomes required and legally required and required by the corporations, how are we going to resist that? Well, I think it's worth thinking about how we are going to refuse the mark when it becomes required. After all, our real job on this earth is to tell other people the good news about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I've heard plenty of people say, well, when they require the mark, I'll just die. And I'm sure there will be many, many people who will not only feel that way, but they will die because they don't have what they need to live. But remember, our position is to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to do that, we have to be alive. And so somehow we have to figure out how to get through the requirements and just live. Things are changing in the society and in the world. I remember when there was a certain Dutch company that no longer accepted cash. That was about a year ago with the COVID thing. And then last week I went to an auto store, and I went up to the counter to pay for my tail light, and I handed them a $20 bill, and they said, we only accept exact change. We cannot give you change. That really happened to me last week. And so I was thinking that things really are changing in the world, and we can only guess what they will change into. Well, read the Bible, it'll tell you. But the thing is it's happening now faster than we expected. And what would we do if our normal needs were not met? What would happen if we could not get water, if we could not get food or electricity? Well, there are shortages that are starting to show up now. Last week I talked to a pastor, and he said he went to Costco and he was going to get the 6 cases of water that he bought every month. And on that visit last week, he was told they were only allowed to get 5 cases of water a day. It was a new store policy. Come back tomorrow and you can get the other one. Well, I think that's an indication of things are changing in our society. Hey, another indicator is, in the last few weeks I've seen this sign up in there have been 2 fast food restaurants that have had a similar sign. It said that some of our normal menu items may not be available because some products were not being delivered. So that's another indication that things are changing in our society. And it's not that we can't, we should be surprised. It should be normal and expected, but we still have to decide how we're going to deal with it. And the conditions in society will certainly get worse. We have violence getting worse. We have thousands of drug overdose deaths. And we have to look at the homeless population is growing. There's also human trafficking that is increasing. See, all these things are signs that we're not valuing our relationship with God. We are seeking something else. And shortages are just a likely outgrowth of what happens when we leave God and He turns the other way. See, we have things with our nation's water supplies. They are drying up. And orchards are being ripped out. And crops are not being planted because of the water shortage. And all this is going on while we, or so many people, are being amused with their phones and entertainment. As people dwell on unholy concepts and images. And then we see the violence and the drug use and the homelessness all increase greatly. So will our system break down? Well, it sure is looking like it. And then we get to figure out, well, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? How are we going to have a stable system in life? And I know the Antichrist will say he can save all of us. He will come along and say, I will give you what you need. The Antichrist system is coming about. If you look around, you can see that everything seems to have its own number. Every property has its own number. Every insurance contract, every airplane, every automobile, every driver, every copy machine, and every cell phone. Why, every pharmaceutical prescription. Even every dollar bill has its own unique number. So we are turning into a system of everything is being monitored, and that means it is controllable. Yep, we each have our own number. Don't forget that one. Social Security number. So here we are, the freest nation in the world. That's what they say over and over again. But we all have a system that can completely overwhelm us as we get distracted by the things that are going on. I have noticed that nobody wants to go without that one tracking device that we all seem to have. The tracking device called the cell phone. It does track us. And it also can tell that certain agency about our conversation, that certain NSA agency records every phone conversation that is made in the country. It's all recorded on a number of supercomputers. So what could that mean? Well, to me, it looks to me like it wouldn't be very hard to incorporate a beast system into our everyday life. And then so many people today think we will be raptured before any of that happens to us Christians, right? Well, that's what a majority of us Christians and the pastors believe. But there's another point of view to say that it's not going to happen and you're going to need your supplies before things get rough. Yeah, it's the rapture will happen before God's vengeance on the earth, but we could have some really hard times before then. And that's just something to consider. We need to weigh opinions, weigh the options, and ask the questions. Because, let's see, I think of that rapture question, and I think of the 1800 years where Christians believed that the rapture would not happen until the end of the tribulation. And right or not, I don't know, but I can see the reasoning for both positions. And I think about Corrie Ten Boom, who, as she contemplated the millions of Chinese Christians who expected to be raptured before any trouble came to them, and she said, no, they weren't raptured. They were tortured and killed by the millions, by the Maoist Chinese communists. So, let's see, here's one. There was one Chinese bishop who wrote about this happening 50 years ago. He said, we have failed. We should have made the people strong for persecution rather than telling them Jesus would come first. We also ought to tell people how to be strong in times of persecution and how to stand when the tribulation comes, to stand and not faint. So that's what one bishop wrote. The point is we don't know the timing. We just don't know. And we don't know what we're going to face with certain conditions or hardships. There are good arguments for both positions. And, I guess that makes it a personal choice. You get to see what you are willing to believe and willing to do along the preparation question. I know I don't like to argue this position too much because it seems like it separates and divides Christians when we have a strong view of either pre, mid, or post-tribulation rapture. So, and I have a little trouble with it too, because I can see the argument for all three positions. And I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just know that with a little bit of preparation, we could avoid some great big troubles. Just like we have preparations for everything. We have our first aid kit. We have a spare tire in the car. We have insurance. And that is in case something bad happens. We have to just examine it for our own personal life and determine what we are going to do about that question of how prepared are we going to be. I know that we as a country could have either consequences or a certain kind of judgment on our country, because God judges countries while they are countries. He doesn't wait till they are dissolved or collapsed and then judge them. No, there is a judgment that comes when countries are still countries. And maybe that's what's going on now, as we see the deterioration in our country right now. So I just think about those basic preparations of water, food, and warmth. Start there. And then we all have whatever our idea is for more things. And everybody has their own ideas, so just think about it. I know the water is the first on the list, and I think about 3 months ago, I heard California water experts talking and saying that there would be 5 years of drought coming. But they don't know. That's an estimation on their part. I don't know what they were looking at. They did not explain it. But it's just an example of, yes, we could have more drought. And we ought to be aware that any sort of a trouble can be right with us. The earthquakes, though, is something I think about. I think of there could be a really big earthquake. You know, the Loma Prieta earthquake, that was in 1989, and it lasted 15 seconds. But experts say that the coming Cascadia earthquake will last 5 minutes and have 100 times more force than the Loma Prieta earthquake. And if you remember, that Loma Prieta earthquake knocked down freeways and overpasses in the Bay Area. So, well, I just think if we could have a real situation from the Cascadia earthquake or from the New Madrid earthquake. And any of this could lead to a collapse of, well, all sorts of things, from distribution to production to manufacturing to our financial system. That could collapse. Oh, and of course, there's the electrical system that could rapidly, immediately break down. We don't do so good without electricity. Everything that we have runs on electricity. We need it to pump our gas, to get our money at the bank, to have a credit card transaction go through, to turn the lights on at night, to have our water distribution points work. All of these things could be a problem if their electrical grid goes down. And of course, we still have the electromagnetic pulse that could happen from a nuclear device. And we have the solar mass ejection from the sun, which could happen. And it happened in 1859. And it melted the electric lines and electric fences along the East Coast. It is something that can happen. It's another threat that actually could affect us. Will it? That's another question. But there are things that can affect our life and our living and our electrical system. And yes, it could be an earthquake. And I just said there was the Cascadia subduction zone and the New Madrid fault on the east. Well, it's East Coast, really between Washington, D.C. and Chicago. But the thing is there are events that could really affect us very seriously. It could cause us to lose our transportation system, and we wouldn't have gasoline or electricity. And these are real threats to us. And there's a few things we can do. Like I say, water, food, and warmth. But beyond that, we all have our own ideas of what we ought to have if there would be a breakdown of the system. What are the other needs we have? Well, we all have our own ideas. Flashlights are pretty big for some people. Cell phones wouldn't work. We wouldn't have electricity. We wouldn't have the cell phones, cell phone towers. We wouldn't have a system that would transfer the phone calls from place to place. So you have to, every one of us has to decide what our basic needs are and how much money we have to fill those needs. And that's something there is no answer to. We all have a different situation. We all have a limited amount that we can spend on what we want. But if we don't think about what we want, then we don't even have a direction to go. When we find a deal on that, what, on the water filter, that big Berkey water filter, or the 500 pounds of wheat, or sugar, salt, and oil, metal drums to put them in. Look, we all have different ideas. And some people will say, we just need spices for the food we buy. Or we just need batteries for our flashlights. We just need dog food. Or maybe we need diapers. Or maybe we need diarrhea medicine. See, everybody has different ideas. And if you think some of those things are for you, and somebody else thinks they don't need them, well, then what we do is become a neighborly society, and we trade goods. we help people, we help our neighbors, and we do things that are good for everybody. That's what I think the answer is. Maybe you can think about these questions and have more clarity, but I think that it is good to pray and fast about these things. Oh, and by the way, if you go on a fast, you will certainly see that food is more important than you realized. Well, food, water, and warmth, that's what I see. And beyond that, we all have the things that we want, that we like. It could be writing paper. It could be books to do school. It could be books for repairs. It could be plywood. Screws, nails, and tools, hand tools. Everybody has their own idea, and I hope that you just give it a good look and then start your preparations. Clothes are very important. They are our first defense from the winter cold, and so get some clothes, some that are too big and too small, and if you don't want to spend the money on clothes, you can get your stuff at a thrift store. An extra pair of boots. Walking shoes. See, all these things are good ideas. Water containers. And certainly, Bibles and hymnals are an essential part of preparedness. It's just that you have to examine it and then make your list. And when opportunity comes up, you get things that you can find. You get things that you can afford. And then you put it in a place where it is safe and secure from bugs or whatever else. So for my free preparedness pamphlet, just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you can listen to any broadcast again by going to www.christtoday.org, which is all lowercase and no spaces. Well, God bless you. May He guide you and protect you. Yes, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.